Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
And good morning. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus has some very powerful things to say to his disciples about faith. He actually starts out the passage by saying, have faith in God. You know, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes whatever he says, he'll have whatever he says. Powerful declaration of faith. And then right after that, he says something else in conjunction with that. He said, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And so Jesus know that there is a powerful connection between faith and mountain-moving faith. You've been a Christian for very long. You realize that the message on forgiveness is a whole lot like an oil change in your car. You don't have that one message on forgiveness and you're good to go. This is one of those maintenance areas that we're continually needing to keep our heart fresh, stirred up on the importance and the value of forgiveness. You know, the anniversary of the Azusa Street outpouring was yesterday, and there's just a tremendous celebration and a lot going on. And one of the, you know, I caught different parts, different segments, and the segment that I caught, amongst several others yesterday, was just a segment on forgiveness. Just forgiveness. And there was a song they were saying, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. You know, and I could just sense as that part of the service was going that there was just a real anointing and grace and flow of grace ministering. Oh, it was amazing. It was refreshing. The power of forgiveness. A lot of times we think of forgiveness as the obligation and the duty that we have to do. But there is power and tremendous freedom that comes from forgiveness when we understand God's desire for us to forgive. And like me, like you, if you've been a Christian for a while, you've got your testimony, your forgiveness testimonies of different things where maybe you've experienced a grace and a release and a freedom, and other ones it's like, oh, I've been struggling for years to try to forgive this person and I can't. Different other vices, you know. Sometimes people will receive Christ and maybe they've, you know, had a problem with tobacco and alcohol addictions. They get saved, the alcohol goes right away, and they're fighting the tobacco for years. You know, or other things like that. You know what I'm saying? Natural, physical things. But that's kind of the way it is. You can have things in your life that you're instantly free from, and things that just like you're overcoming and take a while. In the area of forgiveness, it can be that way too. Forgiveness. When you're forgiving some things, it seems like some things are quick. Other things, it seems like, man, I'm just, what's going on here? What's wrong? Am I forgiving? I thought I had forgiven. And so the enemy loves to play on that confusion and try to keep us in a state of continual condemnation in the area of forgiveness. And what it does is it weakens our faith. There's nothing quite like knowing, man, praise God. And so this morning, we just want to talk about what I'm simply calling basically some do's and dings as you're kind of tweaking, fine-tuning, checking your heart in the area of forgiveness, just some points to keep in mind as you are endeavoring to forgive. All right, and maybe if there's a certain person or a certain situation that you have in your mind this morning, this would be a good opportunity to kind of just go through and look at some things. What does the Bible say about forgiveness? Praise God. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. These things God has given us in his word to free us up in the area of forgiveness. The first aspect of do's and don'ts of forgiveness is, a big one is, don't forget where your strength comes from to forgive, okay? Where your strength comes from. Jesus, in Hebrews it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Praise God. There is grace and there's mercy to help in our time of need. You know, it takes grace to forgive. God had grace when he forgave us, and we need grace to forgive. You are not going to forgive on the strength of your personality. You're not going to forgive on the strength of, you know, you're just a nice person. That won't last very long. You're going to come across some things and situations, and not only that, but you've also got the accuser of the brethren who's amplifying every little thing that's done to you that might be so big, and he'll make it humongous, huge. He's an expert at roaring and accusing. He's the accuser of the brethren. It's what he's really good at. He's a good liar. He's the father of lies, and he's the accuser of the brethren. Those are two things that he will work overtime on you to try to do. But number one, when it comes to forgiveness, we got to realize I'm not going to be able to forgive in my own strength. I need the grace of God to be able to forgive. Here's the scripture tells us also in I didn't have the scripture up there. In Romans 5:5, it says, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Okay? The things that we have in our life that equip us to heal, God has given us on the inside. So right away, when I look at things, I size up things, you know, and maybe you do this in your own life. Have you ever been there where you think, man, Lord, it's amazing you've stuck with me all these years. Would I have stuck with me all these years if I would have been in your place dealing with me in my own unfaithfulness and promises and breaking promises and doing all those kind of things? Would I have put up with myself? And I realized one thing right away, just in my own life, his love and his compassion, his grace and his mercy is far beyond anything I could stir up or manufacture. You know, when his disciples, he told his disciples, he said, you know, Peter thought he was going to be, you know, showing his spirituality when he said, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? 7 times. And the Lord said, no, Peter, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. You know what the response to that was? Lord, increase our faith. There is no greater test of faith that you're going to have when you are genuinely hurt on the inside by something somebody says or something somebody does on this earth. That will be the greatest ultimate test of your faith, is when you put your faith in the grace of God to forgive. But that's also the greatest joy, too, when you realize something that hurt you yesterday, you're totally free from today, and you're able to go on down the road. It's some of the biggest battles, but they're also the biggest victories. But number one, do's and don'ts. We do, don't forget that your grace and your strength, your ability to forgive comes from God. At that throne of grace where you experience his grace for you, he also has that grace to help you in your time of need to help you forgive. So Father, you'd be like, here I am, throne of grace. I need grace to help me right now to forgive. That same grace you have toward me that you've been using to put up with me all these years, I need that same grace in my life right now, as I'm at the throne of grace, to help me to forgive, Father, according to your word. Thank God there's a place we can go. There's a place we can go to get grace. You know, the Bible says even before you resist the devil and things like that, he said, number one, submit yourself to God. First things first, go to the green pastures. Look out across the still waters. Get grace and strength first. And then say, thank you, Lord, for the grace that I need to forgive in the name of Jesus. He gives us the grace. He gives us the grace to do that. And one of the powerful things that he'll remind us of is the fact in 1 John 2:2, he says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Praise God. And he goes on to say, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And that's one of the powerful refreshers that I know I need in my life, that I got to remember on that cross. Not only were my sins put on that cross, but every single wrong thing that's been done to Ed House was also put on that cross. So he didn't just die for the wrong things I did, he died for all the wrong things that have been done to me. That's a freeing thing. It's a freeing truth. It's one thing to realize that through guilt, I don't have to pay for my own sin. It's also another powerful thing to realize that through bitterness, I don't have to pay for other people's sins against me. Both guilt and bitterness were taken care of at the cross. Not for our sins only, the sins of the whole world. And so, as we look at that, as we remember it, praise God, we realize, almost in a sense, that you have permission to forgive. We live in a world where forgiveness is considered kind of a weak thing. If you punch me, I'm going to punch back even harder. I'm going to be vindictive. That's going to be my nature. That's who I am. That's not God's nature. I'm glad God isn't that way. We'd be gone. We wouldn't be anywhere. No, he isn't that way. There's mercy and grace. Now the Bible says it's a glory. It's a glorious and honoring thing when you overlook a transgression, you forgive. In the Spirit, it's a sign of strength. It's a sign of security. But the first things first, where does my strength to forgive come from? Well, it really comes from the fact and the basis that he took care of it on the cross. In the same way, I don't have any moral obligation to feel guilt for my sin because of the blood. I have no moral obligation to bitterness either because he took it away. I know it seems weird to phrase it that way, but a lot of times we get in these things and we feel like there's something I'm somehow protecting, I'm holding on. But no, the same cross took care of guilt and bitterness. All of our sin was on that cross. And we realize, too, that, you know, when I stay in bitterness, it's basically saying, my sins were forgivable, your sins were not forgivable. When I know as a Christian, they were all on there, even the worst things that were done to me. So I'm being very logical now. I'm being very practical. But we got to realize that fact. In the same way, there's nothing I'm beating myself up for today that wasn't taken care of at the cross. There's nothing that anybody ever did to me against me that was not also taken care of on the cross. The same wrath and anger and all the punishment Jesus took for our sin, he took for those who sinned against us as well too. Those are both very heavy loads. Going on, not only do I have to remember, praise God, that that I can't forgive in my own strength, but I also have to remember that I do forgive by faith. I'm forgiving by faith. What does that mean, forgiving by faith? I'm not waiting for a feeling of forgiveness. I'm not waiting for a warm gush of just emotional compassion. In fact, when you're in that place of hurt and pain, you're not feeling those things. But what am I doing? What do I mean when I say I got to forgive by faith? According to the Word of God, this is what the Scripture says. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind. Boy, that would be one thing if you just stopped there. But it gets worse. No, it gets better. All right, I forgive him. But be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. We're talking about people that just hurt your heart. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgave you. Boy, that even as comes out there. Throughout the New Testament, you see the even as. Therefore, as the elect of God, this is Colossians 3, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. That even as. Why is the even as there? Because both of our sins are on the cross. They were both put there. And there's a duplicity of our own heart when we refuse to forgive. We refuse the grace that was extended toward us. And I don't care how we spiritualize it. I don't care how we justify it. There's just something in our heart that isn't quite right until we have forgiven. We've forgiven. And what are we talking about? I'm just talking about we simply do it by faith. It's not something that, it is not something that, again, I'm waiting for a feeling or some kind of emotional or thing, but just the Word of God. I can't tell you, there are times in my life I thank God for the Word of God where these scriptures have rose up in my heart. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. And those scriptures arise up when you're emotionally not feeling good. You're not feeling tender-hearted at that moment. But those scriptures arise up in your heart, and it's like, oh, thank God. Praise God. Yes. Forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. And I got to realize, again, forgiveness is not a weak thing. It's not being walked on. It's cooperating with the same grace that's been extended toward me, even as. Do you understand? There are arguments. There are demonic arguments that cause strife and hatred, and they're not from above. They're devilish, but there is a wisdom that's from above. It's pure, peaceable, gentle. And I'll tell you, last night or yesterday, just seeing that proclamation, Father, forgive them. You know, there were racial, social, a lot of things in California there just going, Father, forgive them. It was like an intercession of forgiveness over the country. An empathy, a supernatural divine empathy. And it was like, wow, praise God, the power, the spiritual power and freedom that comes from forgiveness. But this is something that I'm going to do by faith. I'm not waiting for a feeling. I'm going to do it by faith. Father God, here we go. So I'm not going to do it in my own strength, and I am going to do it by faith. And kind of just put it this way too, when you're feeling the feelings of anger, hatred, I like to liken forgiveness. One of the best analogies, one of my favorite sermon analogies of all time, is like a person flying a plane. When a person is flying a plane and they're in the clouds, they're up high, they got to trust that instrument panel that's in front of them. They've got a horizon line. And they've got to bring that plane even with that horizon line so they know that they're flying straight. And I'm not a pilot, but I've heard pilots talk about times, especially when they're, well, all ages of pilots, but as they're learning and they're growing and their ability to fly, there will be times where they're flying and they look at the horizon line and it shows that they've drifted and they're going down. And they said the hardest thing in the world, because it feels normal, because what happens is you just get these slight little adjustments. And if you're just not paying attention to the horizon line, you just kind of, your mind is, you know, drifting for just a few minutes, and you look back at the horizon line and it's off. According to that horizon line, if I keep going in that direction, I'm going to crash my plane. And so one of the hardest things they have to do sometimes is to by faith turn the plane, you know, one direction or another. And for them, it might feel like I'm flying straight up or I'm flying straight down, but I got to get in line with that horizon line so I know I'm flying straight. And when a pilot fails to do it, that's what they'll call vertigo. You kind of lose your sense of what's up and down. And a young pilot getting started, a lot of times if they're, or even older pilots, whatever, they don't have that horizon line right, they can crash a plane just because it just doesn't feel right. You know, I've heard one of them said, there have been times when he's had to just literally take his head, go down and just, you know, put it to his knees and just go back up like that and say, okay, make that, because it is such subtle changes. It goes against what you feel is right, but it's right. That's our horizon line right there. That's the horizon line. And it might feel like, oh, I'm just giving in, I'm giving in, I'm enabling. No. This isn't about you fixing them. This is about you keeping your heart clear before God. All right? We don't like to attach a lot of things to our forgiveness that have nothing to do with forgiveness. This is simply even as stuff. I mean, there's very little wiggle room here. If anyone has a complaint against another, that covers everything. I haven't figured out a workaround to verse 13 yet. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Nope. My forgiveness has nothing to do with fixing them. My forgiveness is just a matter of keeping my heart clear and right before God. So I'm going to say, all right, praise God, Lord, I'm doing it by faith. I'm bringing my horizon line back in line. And keep this plane flying straight. Because if I don't, that's when I end up crashing spiritually in different ways, getting my eyes off the Lord. Another do and don't. Don't take revenge. All right. Again, these are just some scriptural New Testament guidelines that we want to get, you know, that kind of keep our heart, you know, refreshed and tuned to forgiveness. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 19 says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord." Praise God. You know, one of the reasons why forgiveness can seem very difficult is because in our heart there is a sense of injustice, okay? When we sin against God, it was wrong. It's unjust. That's why the Bible refers to our redemption as justification. I was justified before God through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so I realized that my wrong life behavior was injustice that Christ satisfied through his blood. Well, when we're sinned against, we also have that same sense of injustice. There's something wrong. I'm avenging because I'm going to satisfy through my vengeance the injustice. And this is where we have that reminder again that really, 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 in a sense, that injustice was already satisfied at the same time and place that your injustice was satisfied. Now, there are things in the natural people do say, and there are natural courses where, yes, people are going to have, pay price for crimes and different things like that. I'm not outdoing that. I'm talking about in my own heart. I have the ability to forgive. In other words, for one thing, he tells us to forgive, so we must have the ability to forgive. But we're connecting it right now to wrath and vindication. And so when I forgive somebody, and this is why when you see forgiveness in the New Testament, it doesn't just say forgive, it says be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. That's some context for forgiveness. That's not vengeful. Or even in Colossians, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility. There's a connection between tenderness and forgiveness. There's never a connection between vindication and forgiveness. And he goes on to say, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. There are ways people can depict you in a very bad light. All right? There's an old proverb. There's a proverb that says, you know, a person who only hears one side is very foolish. Because then the other person will come up and do their side. And it's like, well, okay, well, I didn't see all that. And that's the danger of gossip and different things like that. You're really kind of getting a one-sided court view of something. You're not really seeing the full big picture. And so people, as they have heard us, they may present us in a certain light that seems wrong and it's harmful and it's mad. And so I can forgive the person, but I've got this residue of their offense, and it does anger me when I have to see things and situations and people and things like that, and I'm mad about that. Well, here's the amazing thing. Not only can I receive the grace to forgive and by faith forgive, because God gives me the ability to forgive, because whatever they did to me, however they depicted me, all that damage was taken care of on the cross. Jesus suffered for it. Praise God. Every ripple effect of what they did, every wrong, it's an amazing thought. I mean, Christ died for it all. And the thing that we got to remember as we're looking at our offense from our perspective is that even though maybe people can't see the big picture and you feel hurt, the victim and all that, he can see the big picture. He does. And that first passage that we looked at in Peter where the Bible says about Jesus, well, we didn't pull that one up, but it says of Jesus, when he was reviled, he did not revile, talking about with Herod, or when he was standing before Pilate. He said, when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. And that's the thing that we can do. Lord, you see this is wrong, and I commit myself to you, you judge righteously. And you'll hear the psalmist, vindicate me. Lord, my vindication. There is nothing better. I mean, if you had to choose between you vindicating you and God vindicating you, what would you rather have? He will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, and he'll anoint your head with oil right there. He'll vindicate you in a way that you don't even have to open your mouth. And you'll be shown in the right, and everybody will know it's in the right, and everybody will know it's God. That's better than your vindication. Praise God. He sees it. He knows it. He's aware. He's got the big picture. And there's a trust there, isn't it? My justice might not be tomorrow, but it will come. There are some times where you might do some things, praise God, and all things are shown immediately. I like that. You know what? I use the illustration sometimes. When I was in Wisconsin Dells, I was a young kid, me and my brother Will were at the Dells. We were probably about maybe 10, 12 years old. We were riding the go-karts and going around. It was just really fun and having a blast, and we're just really coming across. It was like the last lap, all right? And I've got the inside track, and I feel like, great, I'm gonna beat Will. He's on the outside here, and there's no way he can beat me. Well, the final turn had kind of a little jet-out notch, and he's on my right side, and I've got it, you know, and all of a sudden, he just turns me right into, and there was no way out, and I had to crash into that notch, and I was just, there was no plan B. I'm just dead in the water, and I crush into that whole bumper thing, and I just come to a complete stop. And but as I hit that thing, there's all these tires around there. As I hit that thing, I hit that tire so hard, it flipped up, all right? And it flipped out across the track, and it perfectly timed out when Will was coming around the end, and it caught his cart. And they caught his wheel, and he's going around. And I went out, and I went around him, and I won the race. That was amazing. Vindication doesn't usually work that fast. But it sure is fun when it does, I'll tell you what. I felt so helpless, and then I was just, in a moment, vindicated, and the champion and the winner. But you know, when you run into the rail and your opponent is going on and it looks like you're the loser and they're the winner, you're in a bad light or whatever, you got to realize that, you know, vindication doesn't always come, but it did say he would vindicate. You know, this is one of the reasons that the Lord tells us to pray for our enemies. I'll tell you this, if somebody has really, I'm not talking about imagine, I mean, if they've really hurt you, if they've really harmed you, you don't need to vindicate, because if they've really harmed you, they've really sown to the flesh, and they will of the flesh reap corruption, regardless of you. You're out of the picture. They violated God's laws, and they're in a dangerous area without your vindication, without your getting even or anything like that. There is somebody else who sees it and knows it, and there's a reaping coming. And God actually says, be big enough to actually pray for them. Pray for them. And there's healing in praying for them, for you, emotionally, on the emotional level, when you're beginning to pray for those who hurt you. But here we see there's a vengeance. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. I love the psalmist. He says, you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried aloud to the Lord with my voice. He heard me from his holy hill. I laid down and slept. I awoke. The Lord sustained me. I won't be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. But that verse, you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You're a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. There is such a protection. There is such a protection in forgiveness. Probably the biggest fear people have when it comes to forgiveness is the fear of being hurt again. And that's why there's a need to punch back, to hit back, to scare you into not hurting me again. This is natural thinking, right? This is not spiritual thinking. This is not the way God thinks. This is the way we are not to behave. We're to forgive. We're not to be vindictive. Why is that? I'll tell you what. One day I was feeling sorry for myself about having to forgive, and the Lord just all of a sudden just kind of showed me something in a light. Ed, what if I wasn't this way? What if vengeance was yours and I commanded you to repay? What if I commanded you to be spiteful and hateful. And if somebody said something malicious against you, I expected you to get the very edge of that thing and to understand it to the nth degree. And I expect you to have a comeback and put them in their place. What if he expected that of us? It satisfies something in us, but it's not him. Could you imagine if you had to be vengeful? That would not be a light yoke. When we get engaged in things and we give into the flesh, it's like, no, I want to be free. I want peace again. Father, forgive me. Father, I forgive them. I'm glad he's this way. Even though my flesh wants to retaliate, I'm very glad in my spirit that he's not that way. I'm so glad he doesn't, that vengeance is not my responsibility. It's a temptation of my flesh, but there is no way that God holds me responsible to have to get even. Thank God. That would be, I mean, it's even hard to imagine because we know he's not that way. But again, it was encouraging to me. It's like, Lord, praise God. I'm glad you're not that way. I'm glad you're not that way. So he said, you know, just realize, you know, this is the better way. Because if you had to get even, then, you know, if you said, you know, what if I did go before the Lord and said, Lord, they hurt me. And Lord said, don't bother me with that. You get even. You take vengeance. Don't tell me about your problems. You settle the score. Aren't you glad he isn't that way? Praise God. Again, our flesh wants to be that way. He's not that way. And this is what keeps our horizon line, right? Don't take vengeance. And then learn to forget. Apostle Paul, of course, had a great short memory of some things in his life that he had to forget. Is before he was the Apostle Paul, he was the great persecutor Saul. He said, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which for Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm so glad he said that, the way he said it. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. Don't count myself to have apprehended. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What a great picture of a man who is not allowing the sins of his past to slow him down today. But to forget those things that are behind, they're under the blood, and to go forward. And I love what he says. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God that's in Christ Jesus. He's looking out and up. He's not looking back. And that's the cool thing. You have permission to do that. You absolutely have permission to do it. When there's the accusing and the enemy comes and he roars those things, you've got to understand, when the enemy comes at you with strong, he comes at you with arguments. And you have to refute arguments. In other words, he'll come at your mind with an argument and you say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you're going forward. Remember what they did to you? And they might do that again. And you better keep an eye on them and you better watch them very closely, and you better be very careful. And all of a sudden, before you know it, it's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. And all of a sudden, I'm no longer looking out and up. I'm looking back, and I'm really concerned, and I'm worried, and I'm the watchman again. Got to make sure they don't do that again. But boy, a person who can forget those things that are behind and reach for, what else? You know, he says, I'm pressing for the goal of the upward call of God that's in Christ Jesus. What's also up there as he's pressing for God? Jesus is there. If you are going to press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, you are also going to be looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of your faith. And there can be some things that'll come up. There may be some issues or concerns. You can pray them. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, let your request be made known unto God. The peace of God, keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And so I keep looking in this direction. I don't stop my whole intimate fellowship moment to have to police somebody else's actions again. That's a heavy yoke. This is the better yoke. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to pray about it, acknowledge God, but my eyes are on him. My eyes are on him. And so learning to forget, it's really going to be that process of looking forward, and there's going to be a renewing of our mind that takes place. You know, it's almost like anything else, too. As you're getting free from things, you're training yourself to keep looking unto Jesus. And then finally, well, two things. Don't confuse forgiveness and healing. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There is an anointing that can absolutely heal the brokenhearted. God, by his Spirit, can heal. Now, just because I say, you know, I've forgiven so-and-so of such-and-such, that doesn't necessarily mean that I am completely going to just feel warmth and goosebumps and just a strong affinity to that person, right? Like we said before, I'm going to heal. I'm going to forgive by faith. But there is a healing that takes place on the inside of you that will happen over time. There's a recovery that will happen over time, and that by the anointing of the Spirit of God. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but this is where you got to know that as I am keeping my eyes forward, I'm not going back, I'm staying tenderhearted, that it's not just I'm keeping track of a to-do list, but that there's healing, there's grace, there's things working on the inside of my heart. Okay, I can't, when it comes to the healing of a broken heart, think of it almost like the healing of a broken hand or something in your body. I can't, if I had a scrape on my hand, I can't heal my hand. If I had a cut on my hand, I couldn't heal my hand. All I could do would be to clean it out, cleansing, forgiveness, and I could create a condition for that healing to take place. I could create an environment for the healing to take place. Even if you broke a bone, a doctor cannot mend your broken bone. All a doctor could do is set it and create an environment for that healing to take place, for it to come back together again. And when it comes to the healing of a broken heart, a lot of times that's what you're going to be doing. You're setting things. You're setting your mind for forgiveness, for grace, and there's a healing that'll take place. You're just creating conditions for that healing to take place. So as I'm forgive them, and why can't I go there? You know, so in other words, if I forgive somebody of something, it doesn't mean that I can go there tomorrow, you know, or right now. It still might be tender. It still might be, you know, a tender spot. But I'll tell you what, as I keep my mindset, as I stay in forgiveness, as I stay in the grace of God, there's a healing that's working in my heart. And over time, you'll be amazed. I remember I broke my wrist in first grade. It was hanging on the monkey bars. Kid came up behind me and started swinging me, and I just couldn't hold on anymore. I fell and broke my wrist in several places. And again, they put a cast on there. The doctor couldn't heal my wrist. All he could do is set it. And the healing power that's in the body ultimately healed that wrist because it was just set in place. It was amazing to me when I had that cast cut off because I remember the pain. I had never felt, I'm in first grade, I never felt pain like a broken bone. That's excruciating. And when that cast came off, I remember just my arm was just like, it'd float right up. I'd been carrying, you know, I'd had that cast and I was just so free. And it was just like, you'd almost just kind of go, but there was no pain there. But it took some time. I had to set it for some time. But then over time, I could go there and it didn't hurt because there was a healing that took place. A lot of those wounds of the heart, you can't have the drive-through expectation, I forgave him, get over it. You shouldn't know. Well, you forgive him. You forgive him by faith. Praise God. Keep your heart in that place. But I'm telling you, as you do these things, as you keep looking forward, there is a healing that begins to take place in your heart. Because why? The enemy's going to try to bring things back and go back, but nope, I'm going to keep it forward. I'm going to keep it forward. I'm going to keep looking forward, keep looking unto Jesus. And as I do that, what am I doing? I'm keeping the bandage in its place. You know, if I had a friend that I was holding a stake for and they were driving a stake in the ground and they accidentally hit my thumb, okay? They could say, oh, I'm sorry. I could say, oh, it's all right, I forgive you. But that doesn't mean the pain's going to stop right there. It's going to take a little while, all right? Now, if I'm going down the road and all of a sudden I get that thought or somebody asks me about it, did so-and-so hurt you? And I said, yeah, they did, and I took a hammer and I just smashed my thumb all over again. That's what they did to me. Well, as I keep reopening it up, I'm having to keep healing over and over again. So the question is, how many times do I have to hit my thumb with the hammer before I'm healed? At some point, I've got to stop hitting the thumb. At some point, I've got to let healing work. And I got to keep going. Again, I can't heal my body physically. I can't heal my spirit. All I can do is put it in a condition for healing to take place. But you can do that. And then God just supernaturally does stuff. I keep it in a cast of forgiveness. I keep it in a cast of thank you, Lord, for forgiving me the $1 million debt, forgiving my brother the $20 debt. That's what I do, looking unto Jesus. And it's amazing. You'll just kind of go think, well, I haven't thought about some things, and praise God. There is a healing that'll take place. You know, so don't confuse forgiveness with healing, okay? So just because I've forgiven somebody doesn't mean all the pain's gone. I've done what God's told me to do, but there can be some time involved in that healing process. And then finally, let God heal your heart. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It sounds a whole lot like the wisdom that's from above. It's pure and peaceable and gentle and full of mercy and good fruits and without partiality. It's, what is this? This is like a spiritual Band-Aid. There's a peace that keeps your heart and mind in Christ. I don't have the answer. It's just in place. It's just keeping it steady. And that's a lot of heart healing things. It's where we're allowing God to heal our heart. Again, if something comes up, if there's an anxious thought, I pray about it. Lord, help me. Here's an anxious thought that I have. Could this happen again? Could that, I just saw some. Because a lot of what happens is you see something that reminds you of something that brings you back to an old hurt. And so you say, nope, Lord. So when that thought comes up, all of a sudden you're tempted to get bitter and angry. It's like, nope, I've forgiven him. They did this, they said that, yes, but here's my argument. I've forgiven. There's no hold. There's no more stronghold. I've forgiven. That's what forgiveness does. Forgiveness is a strong argument that gives you permission to release the past hatred and the bitterness. Forgiveness. It's not a personality trait. It's not the strength of your sweet personality. You don't have the ability in your sweet personality. You need the argument of forgiveness that gives you the legal permission to keep looking forward. If anyone has a problem with anyone, if anybody has sinned against you, let all bitterness, wrath, forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven me. I have forgiven that. Yes, I remember it, but I also remember I forgave that, and I'm not going back there again. That's where healing is going to happen, as you stay in that place of forgiveness. The supernatural stuff. Again, we can do our natural things and setting things, bandaging things up, surrounding ourselves, but there's a healing power of God that's going to go to work. I know this is a big topic. I know we covered a lot this morning, but I just wanted to really kind of rephrase it as basically some do's and don'ts of forgiveness, kind of a refresher. Take your car to get the lube and oil job done, all those different points. That's kind of what this is. These are just some gentle reminders in the issue of forgiveness to kind of keep our heart and mind tuned up and to remember, when I forgive, I can't do it with the strength of my personality, and that means that it doesn't matter what genealogy or blood types flows through me, there's strength and grace to heal. I can't blame my heritage on my inability to forgive either, because there is grace and forgiveness that comes from the throne of God to forgive. And I forgive by faith. I'm not waiting for the lightning bolt. I'm just going to forgive by faith in the name of Jesus, because Lord, you said to forgive because my sins were on here. Their sins were on here. I'm free from guilt. I'm free from bitterness, because the same agony that he experienced with my sin is the same agony he experienced with people who've sinned against me. So in the same way, it's kind of double jeopardy for me to stay guilty on top of things he's already experienced the pain for. It's double, it's a double something for me to stay in bitterness over things he's already experienced the agony. And I realize there's healing. There's legal healing that happens to my heart because he took that already. I don't have to take it. Also, I don't have to take revenge. Praise God, that is not his way. He will revenge. He'll make you look good in his way, in his time, and it'll be better than you ever could do yourself, taking your own case. Do learn to forget. That's where we're tempted to look back. Keep looking forward. What happens there? There's healing. Don't confuse forgiveness with healing. As I'm looking forward, there is a healing taking place. I'm kind of setting things. The way I set the bone is I forgive those who sinned against me. I'm looking unto Jesus, and I know that as I stay there, there's a healing going on in my heart, and that's really the final point, letting God heal your heart. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for just the wonderful truth of forgiveness, Lord, that we have in your word, Lord, that whatever we've done against you, thank God your grace is much more abounded. And whatever anybody has done for us, your grace is also much more abounded. Praise God. The same grace to receive forgiveness is the same grace we can forgive with, Lord. That you have a throne of grace that helps us, a very present help, Lord. We thank you for that grace this morning. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your forgiveness. I'm forgiven. I'm clean because of your grace, because of the cross. My sin was on that cross. Everybody who's ever hurt me, their sin, their specific offenses against me was on that cross. You paid for those too. So you tell me to forgive even as you have forgiven. That my heart is not hypocritical. All sin is forgivable. A forgiveness that sets me free from guilt and sets me free from bitterness. Thank you for the anointing that heals the broken heart. Heal my heart, Lord, as I'm trusting you with that offense. I believe as I set the bone and do my part, you're doing your part. You're healing me. You're strengthening me. And help me, Lord, to always keep your word as my horizon line, to not be fooled by my emotions, but to call bitterness for what it is and to forgive even as. Thank you for your grace, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.